Hello and welcome to another episode of The Messed Up Gardener. My name is Esther Aiken. I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. If you hear a little bit of background noise, again, I apologise. The situation I'm in today and my recording means that there may be some light traffic noise in the background, some birds and cicadas, and we've just had some new neighbours move in. So again, I am hunched in my daughter's room with everything closed off. Unfortunately, it is not 100% soundproof. So again, apologies. So this week has been absolutely bonkers, right? My 12-year-old has gone back to school. Finally. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely loved having her home. But the summer holidays here are nearly 8+ weeks long. And for those of us who work full time, it can get really difficult and hard to manage. Now, I am so lucky I work for a family-friendly business, so she has been able to come to work with me on the odd day, and I've also been able to work from home. She does, however, get very bored sitting at my desk while I do my day job, but with today's economic climate, we can't really afford for me not to work, so off we go into the office, sitting in some days hours of traffic cooking in nearly record hot weather. These days it seems that every time we go into the office, the state highway people are doing their roadworks and completing it just pretty much every other day. So today, for example, there was a light, sort of a traffic light system set in an area that normally flows very smoothly, but they had a lot of trees being moved for a new toll road that is being put in. Granted, we really need this bypass as such because traffic into Tauranga is absolutely diabolical and probably one of the worst in New Zealand. I'm fairly certain that there will be some of you responding back to me telling me that you have worse traffic problems, and each to their own. But honestly, spending 2.5 hours sitting in a traffic queue for a trip that normally takes some 45 minutes without the possibility of using a bathroom or a water stop can get a bit much some days. Yes, I know I could possibly move a little bit closer to my job, but it makes it very hard to find accommodation in that particular area. So ultimately, I'd still end up out here. So why go through all that trouble? And just basically what my partner would say to me is take a cement template and harden up. So with my daughter going back to school, I managed to get a couple of solid days in my day job at the office this week, and it actually felt really strange not having her with me, but I guess we're back to a school routine and she is a year older, so we just have to adjust, I guess, and part of that adjustment was my hubby-to-be actually came and picked me up from the office and took me to a park called Yatton Park. Now, we already pre-packed our lunches in the morning, with the bulk of it being salad and stuff out of the garden, with a nice juicy tin of tuna. Okay, not very fancy. But anyway, because it was so stinking hot, we ended up having a massive big bottle of water each. So not exactly, again, the most romantic lunch date, but it was still pretty scrummy. The point is, it's not actually about the romantic lunch get away from the office with my hubby-to-be, but the environment that we went and sat in to have our lunch. Now, I remember this particular park way back when, to be honest. I haven't been there in a long time. So when I did show up for our lunch, I was actually really, one, surprised at the state the park overall was in, and two, absolutely horrified at the condition council had let some of the majestic trees get in. When I was training to become an arborist, this particular park was used for a climbing, you know, for climbing competitions. This is where a lot of the arborists could show off their skills and our craft. And I remember some of the greats scaling these massive big trees. And they've always at the time looked after them. So as in the arborists looking after the trees. So obviously over the years, a lot has changed. Council's levels of service have changed and arborism competitions have obviously not been occurring here either. What we did end up seeing were large trees that had failed and fallen into the park itself. There are other trees there that were in such diabolical health, and considering some of these majestic giants should be able to continue living for another century, it was disgusting to see that they failed, not because of bad weather, but because of clearly root rot, and a number of these trees were showing a lot of canopy distress as well. And if I was to be perfectly honest with you, if I had been employed to do an arborist report on these trees, then I would also be testing some of the foliage samples, and I would almost put money on it that I would be finding residues of herbicide in the foliage. Now, a number of these trees, actually, who am I kidding? All of these trees had clear indications that they've been sprayed around the base of the trunks to ensure, obviously, that the weeds don't overtake the trunks or get out of hand. I understand why council sprays these trees. I really do. It's almost impossible to hand weed around them because it does take a lot of time. And there are a lot of trees on the Tauranga City Council network, not to mention the amount of dog pee and sometimes human pee that the gardeners would have to deal with, even if it was mostly having dried up. But either way, yuck. Oh, as in gross. I truly believe that the compounding effects, however, of using herbicides for a long period of time around these big, beautiful old trees has actually caused them to fail prematurely, even though technically the herbicides they do use and have been using, which is glyphosate, is technically only retained in the leaf material and is inactive in the soil. But I also know that that isn't true because when I did do my master's research on woolly nightshade way back when, I actually did a lot of work on herbicide root translocation utilizing a cut and paste methodology. So no overspray, no dripping, no potential for cross contamination, and no other way other than root translocation from the treated plant could the herbicide have moved at any great distance, which is actually really scary, especially as it's branded as a safe product to use around established vegetation. So in theory, when the gardener is spraying the herbicide around the base of the tree trunk, they are bound to get some spray on the trunk itself. And it would be unrealistic to assume that it will not be absorbed by the trunk of the tree. And over time, again, like I said, with a compounding effect, it could and would potentially negatively impact on the tree that you're trying to spray around. Bottom line, it comes down to available funding to complete the tasks to keep the parks looking beautiful. And of course, spraying will always be the cheaper option. Surely there are some other options. So I'm quickly going to see if I can explore some of these options now and see what some alternative methods are for managing weeds around the base of the tree instead of using herbicides. Some points I've already talked a little bit about, so you know, just bear with me. We already know that there are several effective alternative methods for managing weeds around the base of a tree without resorting to using herbicides. One method is mulching, which involves covering the soil with a layer of organic material like wood chips or leaves to suppress the weed growth. But again, it's really important not to push that mulch hard up against the tree trunk because mulch does actually break down and create heat, which can cause rot and damage to the trunk itself. So you may still in fact, have a little bit of weed growth coming through, which would then have to be seen to. And of course, you would have to maintain that mulch over time. Another option is hand pulling weeds regularly to prevent them from taking over the area. This is one we talked about with the gardeners obviously having to wear some serious glovage. But labour is expensive and getting good experienced gardeners is actually quite hard as well. Not to mention that you will have to dispose of any green waste you have pulled away from that tree trunk. If it's pulled when, say, it's still quite small, then it can be thrown onto the lawn area and mowed the next lawn mowing rotation. So that the goodness goes back into the soil and you're not actually moving stuff around from site to site and risking moving pests and diseases, you know, around and spreading it to other areas, for example. Now, the next alternative methodology is something I'm actually a little bit keen on, and that is to consider planting ground cover plants or creating a dense planting bed that can also help smother weeds by limiting their access to sunlight and space to grow. These plants can actually grow hard up against the trunk because generally that is what happens in nature anyway. So you could put some really lovely hebes around an established pine tree. Once the hebes, for example, establish, they then shade out any potential weeds that they are trying to regrow around the trunk, eliminating the need for herbicide use. You seriously wouldn't need a lot of plants to create that type of barrier either. And they would look stunning and would be relatively easy to maintain because you're not putting great big huge widths of plantings around the trunks, just a simple one around. it wouldn't require a lot of work to maintain. Additionally, using landscape fabric or cardboard underneath mulch can also act as a barrier to prevent weed growth. We know this. Even though I know that using landscape fabric or cardboard, for example, works, I don't think it would be an appropriate situation or use in a park environment because you have people that would vandalize it and obviously dogs and things could dig it up. And if we have a large enough weather event, which we have been having lately, this stuff would also get picked up and thrown around. Then there is the next option, and that is to continuously look at cultivating the soil around the tree to disrupt weed growth and promote healthier soil conditions as another effective method. But again, that can be quite labor intensive, and our councils are very short of a dollar and don't like spending money on aesthetics. And who can blame them? The majority of ratepayers would rather be seeing councils funneling money into the proper roading infrastructure rather than worrying about a bit of green around a tree trunk. Sadly, though, don't see the long-term impacts that not looking after our biodiversity and green corridors is going to be taking on our townships. But case in point, very large trees failing well before their time at Yatton Park. But then I'm sure there are lots of other specialists out there that would challenge my thoughts around how the herbicides they're applying around the trunks of the trees are quite safe and no worries. And I truly believe each to their own. I'm not an expert by any means, more so than others maybe, but I'm no chemist either. Some gardeners are potentially, here's something a little bit more controversial, and again, not necessarily my jam, but they use boiling water or vinegar as a natural weed killer by pouring it directly onto the weeds. Alternatively, there are situations out there where they're introducing beneficial insects or animals that feed on weeds, such as ducks or chickens, which can also help control weed populations in a natural way. But can you imagine seeing a whole heap of chickens running around council parks? The kids would certainly get a kick out of it, but it's not highly appropriate, if you know what I mean. There would be a lot of chickens and duck poo everywhere that people would be standing in and potentially sitting on the seats and things. Lastly, regular maintenance practices like mowing or what I think some people know it as string trimming, I know it as weed eating, can prevent weeds from spreading and taking root. The only concern I have about weed eating around the trunks is that if you're an inexperienced gardener and you don't know how to use these tools, then you are also potentially inclined to weed eat the trunk of the tree and damage the cambium layer of a tree. And this can also increase the speed of decay and decline because in time, the weed trimming, if it's done badly, acts like a trunk girdle, disrupting the sap flow and potentially introducing infections into the tree. So let me put it bluntly. When repetitively applying glyphosate herbicides to the base of a tree to kill the weeds over time, will it kill a tree? There is my question. So when repetitively applying glyphosate herbicides to the base of a tree to kill the weeds, there is a risk that the herbicide can harm or even potentially kill that tree. Glyphosate is a non-selective herbicide, meaning it can kill a wide variety of plant species, including trees, if not used carefully. When applied near the base of a tree, glyphosate can be absorbed by the tree's roots and transported through its system, potentially causing damage to the tree's growth and overall health. Now, to minimize those risks of harming the tree when using glyphosate near its base, it is important to follow best practices for herbicide application. This includes carefully targeting the herbicide only on the weeds you want to eliminate, using the correct concentration and amount of herbicide, and avoiding direct contact with the trunks of and obviously the roots of the trees. Additionally, considering alternative weed controls methods, which is what we've been talking about, such as mulch or hand weeding in the immediate vicinity of the tree, can protect the tree from unintended herbicide damage. Regularly monitoring of the tree's health after herbicide application is also recommended to detect any signs of stress or damage early on. And this is where my favorite alternative methodology to keeping weeds away and suppressed around the tree trunks would still have to be the small planting of user-friendly plants around the tree trunk, that which naturally shade out the weeds. And of course, it would look exquisite with a little round planting around the trunk. But if you're not 100% sure what herbicide damage potentially looks like, when a large tree has had weeds treated around its base with glyphosate, and you may have you know, seen impacted by herbicide damage, there are several symptoms to watch out for. One common sign is leaf discoloration, such as yellowing, browning, or spotting on the leaves. Then the tree may also experience stunted growth or a decrease in overall foliage density. Additionally, the tree might exhibit abnormal leaf drop or premature leaf loss. Another symptom to look for is bark damage, which could manifest as cracking, splitting, or peeling bark. In severe cases, the tree may show signs of wilting, dieback of branches, or even complete tree death. If you suspect herbicide damage in any shape or form, it is important to consult with a professional arborist to assess the situation and determine the best course of action to help the tree recover. Okay, so I feel like I've fluffed around this a little bit. So just to be clear and give you the standard response around the use of herbicide in established vegetation areas, councils often spray the bases of established vegetation with herbicides as a method of vegetation management. Okay, so we've got that clear. Herbicides are used to control the growth of unwanted pests, plants, commonly referred to as weeds, that can compete with the native vegetation for resources such as water, sunlight, and nutrients. So by targeting the bases of established vegetation, council can effectively manage the spread of, in inverted brackets, invasive species, and promote the growth of desirable plants in public spaces such as parks, roadways, and sidewalks. Using herbicides at the base of established vegetation allows councils to selectively target weeds without harming surrounding plants. This method is often more cost-effective and efficient compared to manual removal of weeds, especially in large areas. Additionally, herbicides can provide longer-lasting control of weeds, reducing the need for frequent maintenance and ensuring the health and aesthetics of public green spaces. It is important for councils to carefully consider the type of herbicide used, application methods, and potential environmental impacts when spraying the bases of established vegetation. Proper training and adherence to regulations are essential to minimize risks to human health, wildlife, and the ecosystem. Again, it can get really technical, but if you're in a home situation and you'd like to manage the weeds around your tree trunks, I'm hopeful that some of the suggestions I've raised in this episode will be of assistance. I hope that this particular episode was helpful. If you do have any gardening questions, please do reach out. I'm going to keep compiling a list, and every now and again I'll do an episode on a bunch of combined questions every week, as I mention this. Every week I mention this, and don't be shy, let me know if you're needing some more private coaching, no matter what level, from beginner to experienced, reach out and let's chat. I have a few one-on-one gardening mentoring spots available. Sometimes it really is easier to accomplish a task or a project having a gardening mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Flick me a DM or email me and let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details are, as always, in the show notes. Don't forget to email or DM me for any one of my gardening freebies. And as always, I say, gardening can happen in any space and in any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week, and I will buzz you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at TheMessedUpGardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out my The Let's Biz You Up podcast, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening, and buzz you later.